Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 5th of January 2014 here in Japan across the dateline, and I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Corbett Report as I start back up producing content once again after the holiday break. Thank you for bearing with me during that break time, and although you were expecting a documentary on the Federal Reserve System in the last week of December, obviously that hasn't arrived yet, and in fact that continues to expand and expand and expand and is becoming a feature-length documentary. So that will be out when it's available, and of course you will all know about it when it is. In the meantime, we will be continuing content as usual, and today we're talking to a special guest, Kevin Ryan of digwithin.net. I'm sure Kevin Ryan needs very little introduction to my regular listeners, but for those who do, I do suggest you check out digwithin.net, where you can find out more about him and his work, generally along the lines of deconstructing the official 9/11 narrative, although today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about a very interesting post that he posted on New Year's Day 2014, The Risks of Trusting the Snowden Story, obviously talking about the Edward Snowden story and its reporting by Glenn Greenwald. So, Kevin Ryan, it's great to have you on the program today, and perhaps we can start by talking a little bit about what prompted you to start this, writing this article.
Okay, yeah, as you said, I'm primarily a 9/11 researcher, but I have written a little on the NSA spying subject. And that's because, well, for one thing, the NSA spying is justified primarily by saying that we need to prevent another 9/11 terrorist attack. And also, I was very interested in the fact that several of the primary players, James Clapper and Keith Alexander, have lied openly to the U.S. Congress. And I wrote an article about how that was very similar to the fact that certain people, including NORAD Commander Ralph Eberhardt and CIA Director George Tenet, had also gotten away with lying to Congress. And all of this has some relationship to 9/11. So that's why I'm primarily interested in it. But I remembered over a period of time, having seen an article from an early 9/11 researcher, her name is Margie Burns, back in June, when the Snowden story, the Snowden revelation that Edward Snowden was the NSA insider behind the Glenn Greenwald leaks, Margie Burns was asking a lot of questions about Snowden. You know, maybe people don't know, but Snowden is not really just an NSA contractor. He was an NSA employee. He was a CIA employee working undercover, diplomatic cover in Switzerland and Japan, I understand, is where he first started working for the NSA. Prior to that, he was a special forces, special operations recruit in the U.S. Army. So now all of these things don't necessarily point to him being a problem. Really, we need those sorts of people to speak out. But there are a lot of questions about not only Snowden and how quickly he came up in the conversation of whistleblowing when quite a few whistleblowers from the NSA really didn't get the kind of attention that Snowden is getting. But he came along very quickly, had all these high-level jobs, and now is has revealed, apparently, an uncertain number of documents to journalists, Glenn Greenwald and Laura Poitras, I believe is her name. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that. And the problem begins with the fact that most of those documents have not been revealed. So that's kind of how I got involved. And then I more recently saw Sibel Edmonds articles on the alarming questions about the Omidyar network and the PayPal executives that are related to Greenwald's benefactor, Pierre Omidyar.
Exactly right. This is an exceptionally important part of the story and forms the bulk of your analysis. So let's talk about some of those connections. For example, the ones that have been raised not only by Sibel Edmonds, but by researchers like Mark Ames and Yasha Levin and others.
Yeah, so some of those questions that caught my attention, Ames and Levine, for example, did an investigation back in that was published back in November that looked at Omidyar's investments, his a Midyarn Network investments, and they revealed, frankly, that a number of his investments were not nearly as humanitarian as Piero Midyar appears to be in the more controlled media reports about his nature and his intentions. I think Sibel also has mentioned that we're not really clear on whether Piero Midyar is against whistleblowing or for whistleblowing. There's some indications that maybe he's not really very supportive of whistleblowing. But then the PayPal executives. So in Midyar's network, Omidyar owns PayPal. He purchased PayPal through eBay in 2002. And there are a lot of executives young executives that ran PayPal at the time and became kind of the leaders in this, in the commercial side of the NSA spying, really. One of them being Peter Thiel, who is a PayPal co-founder and who, along with a man named Alex Karp, created this company called Palantir, which is, I would say, primarily it's the major company behind providing technology to the NSA for spying, for domestic surveillance. And so these connections to these PayPal guys and the fact that Omidyar owns PayPal and is now essentially funding the slow release of these NSA documents that were stolen by Edward Snowden, all of this should lead people to responsibly and carefully question what's really going on, because, you know, if the intent really was to provide documents that the American public needs to know about, that shows what the NSA is doing, why can't they just do that instead of piecemeal? Frankly, there's only 900 documents approximately that have been revealed out of a number that just keeps changing. So there's a lot of questions about that.
There are a lot of questions all over the place about this, and one of the things that I find fascinating about this story that's even somewhat reflected in the comment section on your own website is the umbrage that some people take at the idea of asking these questions. What's your take on the discourse that has surrounded the Snowden story, even in the alternative media?
Yeah, I think that this goes back to, I think, the same problem that we have with 9/11, and that I was one of those people for the first approximately 2 years that didn't really question 9/11. It took me time to figure out that there was something seriously wrong. And so people with the Snowden story, I think, are experiencing the same kind of conflict in some way. Some of them are. And that is, as Ames and Levine said, there are a lot of people who are really taken by the Greenwald reporting. I'm a big fan of Greenwald in the past and his great reporting on revealing issues about terrorism and the FBI and so forth. And in some cases, we find that people who have been following that kind of work now and following the Snowden story are really uncomfortable stopping and taking a closer look at whether or not what we're seeing from Greenwald and Snowden today is on the up and up entirely, is fully responsible toward the idea of whistleblowing and revelations in the public interest. Because, as you said, I get a few replies from people that are angry and frankly, just how dare I or anyone question Glenn Greenwald or Edward Snowden. And frankly, I don't buy that at all. I think that if this is all straightforward whistleblowing and it's in the public interest, then we all have the ability, I think we have the responsibility to make sure it's done correctly and that things aren't being held back from us. Because frankly, if the documents are being held back, we have to wonder if all of this is framing the issue of not only the NSA spying and not only whistleblowing, because again, there were whistleblowers from the NSA who didn't get nearly the attention that Edward Snowden has gotten. This appears to be, or it could be, a series of events that are leading to framing the entire national discussion on domestic surveillance and other issues, as well as telling us who the real whistleblowers are and who we should believe. And I think we just need to step back and say, with all of the background that we know now about this, is it really reasonable for us to just accept it without questioning?
I find the lack of skepticism in this regard kind of interesting and somewhat worrying, obviously understandable from the mainstream perspective, but from the alternative media, I think there's an awful lot of unquestioning acceptance of this story that I find a bit disturbing. So it is good to see that that more people are asking these types of questions, and hopefully we're going to see more answers along these lines. And in that regard, of course, Glenn Greenwald has written on his own personal blog about some of these objections that people have raised, at least to the idea of dumping all of the documents at once, and some of his reasons for strategizing about the slow release of some of the documents a bit at a time. Do you have any comments on Greenwald's framing of this, or some of the other strategy type ideas that people put out as to why the documents need to be released in this method?
Well, yes, I have opinion on it. And I would say that now that Glenn Greenwald has been working with Snowden since February of 2012, nearly a full year working with this whistleblower, has had the documents in his possession for over 8 months. Is that right? 7 months. And is still kind of just kind of delaying actually revelation, the revealing of most of that information. He's delaying it with offhanded comments about how, well, once we get this, he gets this media venture going, it'll all be very clear to us why they've been holding the documents and what's really important and how it should be done. When the fact is, while they're waiting for months or a year or whatever it ends up being, all of the terrible things that are supposed to be revealed in these documents continue. They continue, and the people who are doing them are given a heads up for that period of time to get their story straight and to perhaps change what they're doing, so it's not as easy to prosecute if that comes to the situation. But, you know, there are a lot of just confusion. There's a lot of confusion and contradictions in what Greenwald and Snowden, I think, are saying. Well, Snowden is saying through Greenwald. Greenwald, of course, has not responded well to simple questions about this from what we've seen. But, you know, the questions about whether Snowden kept some of the documents or revealed them all, it has become a contradiction. Whether or not, they were kept in some sort of encrypted state that Snowden himself didn't have access to, that's a confusion, a point of confusion. And again, the Greenwald-Omidyar venture is just a big black eye right now for Greenwald. So he has not been open about his viewpoint on whether the Omidyar network, which Pierre Omidyar is behind, has any influence on this. This is a company or a group that invests in the same things as the CIA does, shares a lot of the same executives as Booz Allen Hamilton, which was Snowden's contractor company. He hasn't been clear on how the number of documents have been changing, which started out being just a few thousand and are now being reported to be around 2 million documents, and how this 29-year-old man could have possibly reviewed all those documents and properly chosen them, and how he would have even had the background, being a high school dropout, maybe a computer genius, but still, in terms of being a person who could evaluate what the NSA is doing and how that impacts society, whether he could have reviewed 2 million documents or 50,000 documents or any number of documents, and where those documents are at, whether he still has them, who has them, all these things are just out there, not being answered. So I think that we need to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible. Hopefully Glenn Greenwald will come quickly to the rescue and start to answer honestly some of these really important questions.
I think so. And you also end your article by pleading for the complete release of the full information, all of the documents. Are you still advocating for that?
Yes, absolutely. I think they should all be out in the public domain as quickly as possible. As I said, one of the problems is that if there are crimes that those documents reveal, those crimes are continuing today, and they've been continuing since June when the documents were handed over to Glenn Greenwald. So isn't that a problem? Or do we just trust that these documents, which were frankly stolen from the public, are better revealed slowly at the judgment of Glenn Greenwald and Pierre Omidyar? It doesn't make sense that that would be the case.
Excellent. Well, we've covered, I think, most of the bases of this article, but are there any other points that you want to make in relation to this case?
Well, I think that it'd be really nice if more journalists had an opportunity to look at some of these questions about the Omidyar network and the Omidyar-Greenwald partnership and the PayPal folks and how that relates to some of the things that we've seen in the past, the other NSA whistleblowers, and how the mainstream media is treating Snowden differently. I'd just like to see more journalists get out there, good journalists, and start critically examining what's been happening with the Snowden story and the Snowden documents.
Excellent. Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there for now. Once again, this is Kevin Ryan of The Risks of Trusting the Snowden Story article on digwithin.net. Of course, I will link that up in the show notes for today's conversation at corbettreport.com, so you can go and read that for yourself if you haven't already. And of course, to explore all of the great content there at Dig Within, what can we be looking forward to next on the website?
Well, I'm very interested in the NSA spying topic, and so I'll continue to look into that. And of course, I will continue to look into 9/11 in general, which is the primary focus of my work. And who knows what's next? It kind of depends on what is revealed in the future.
All right. Well, on that note, Kevin Ryan, thank you very much for being the first guest of the new year here in 2014 on CorbettReport.com. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, James.